I'm not gonna worry about your level of concern.
Joy and double joy.
We talking about
Twitter.
Triple joy.
Think of how stupid the average person is, and then realize half of them are stupider than that.
Quadruple joy.
Coach T, besides my Lord and Savior, Coach T saved me.
It's good to see the big boy.
We mock ourselves.
In 7 days, we'll forget all about mock drafts.
Oh, thank God.
Until then, we still are able to tell maybe who the pick will be by studying the mock drafts, the science of the mocking science.
It's done some work in the past.
Welcome to the podcast that someone on YouTube, that MarkGXN1 on YouTube said is the correct amount of cringe, humor, and absolute train wreck.
I have heard so much worse things than that. I will take that proudly.
It's what Jen's talking about. The conversation about the Steelers' social media conversation, exposing all your hot and toxic takes. I'm Kyle Kreiss. Across from me is Greg Benevent.
Hello.
In the second half, no, we said mock draft will be in the first half, didn't we? I don't know.
Yes, we did.
Well, stay tuned to the second half. I think will there even be a show? Maybe. Can we walk off the field before the end of the first half?
This will be a voluntary show, like the other, as opposed to the what do they have to do? This is one where it's like, well, we could do it or we could leave.
And I'm sure, like, most listeners have already left. Okay, let's get to your hot and toxic takes. Starting with some Tomlin news at Anthony G. Halkias. Anthony G. Halkias II. Steelers Mike Tomlin pulled Javon Solomon aside and told him something interesting. Well, you know, all these clickbait headlines are always like, you know, DJ and Mitch come to blows or something. And now when we got some real some actual news, the headline couldn't be more boring than Mike Tomlin pulled Javon Solomon aside and told him something interesting.
I was just going to say, and this is not like a first round guy. Like, this is not someone that's in the mock drafts. This is a day three guy. This is just a player that, I mean, it's they're going to pass on several times before potentially maybe taking him. So it's not like Tomlin was trying to build up this big rapport with some franchise dude.
It's an all possibility. You'll never hear the name Javon Solomon again.
Right.
But he is forever part of the Mike Tomlin folklore now, because he got what Russ Wilson got. He got what who else got it? He got what?
I mean,
every Steeler got. Mm-hmm. He got the Tomlin touch. Let's hear it.
I can give you one word. I was like, wow. I was stunned. You know, so what? Like when I'm walking away and I see Mike Tomlin, I'm like, hold on,
what?
Well, hold on now. This guy just, you know, TV for years and years, and you know, he brought me to the side and he whispered some stuff in my ear that I just kind of like, it was just kind of like, he made me just see the game a different, like, you know, he made me understand just something that, you know, maybe not all people get a grasp of. And I just got a good gravitational pull for him and what he was telling and what he was preaching.
Wow.
I got some good gravitational pull from, I want some of this Mike Tomlin gravitational pull. So Tomlin whispered something into his ear, mm-hmm, that totally made him see the game in a different light, totally transformed his understanding of the game that few others in the game will ever experience. Right. You know, the Tomlin touch. What else can you call it?
I mean, it's just amazing to me. I mean, here's a guy that's presumably, I don't know Javon's story, but he's probably been playing this more than 3 or 4 years. I mean, some of them are like that. This is a guy who's probably been playing this game his whole life. And then in the span of 10 words, 25 seconds, Tomlin is able to change entirely how the guy views the game. It hit me, and I think this is one of the reasons I might have sent this to you initially, is that what a wonderful compliment to be told about yourself, that someone got a good gravitational pull off of you. I would love for people to say that about me. Wow.
Yeah, is that a Tomlin? That's not a Tomlinism. That was from Javon. Right. Yeah.
It's like a offshoot Tomlinism, but it's one I hope to incorporate into my own life. Yeah.
And to think that Russ got 5 hours of that. No wonder he signed for the Steelers. He got 5 hours of Care Bear stare. This is just all the more reason why when people were like, 7 years, no playoff wins. It's like, no, it's what Tomlin brings that in spite of the playoff losses, we could lose, you know, three more playoff games. And, you know, if most teams do, you know, but it's what Tomlin brings in this realm. He's the, is he like Obi-Wan? Is he Yoda? Is it bigger than that? I don't know.
Well, I think it's also, but this is the kind of thing that this shows up with. I mean, we made the joke about this beforehand, but this shows up with every player. I mean, if he's doing this with Javon, whoever, he's done it with a whole bunch of other guys, which is a major reason why so many of them are like, I do want to come to Pittsburgh. I do want to play for Tomlin. It's, you know what, they don't even need the heavenly meeting because they had this 22nd meeting, or they went to dinner on Georgia night, or whatever else, or that's how Joe Hayden showed up. I mean, it's that Tomlin does this for everybody on a long enough timeline as a true salesman, for lack of a better phrase, for the team.
He's like he's like the spiritual steroids or something. He can just whisper the whisper. He can enhance your entire performance. I got to know what the whisper was.
I know. That's a shame that guy never brought it up.
No, he was purposely obtuse about it. He was like, I just called my stepdad and said, I just got advice from Mike. Like, yeah, that's what you said. I just got advice from Mike Tomlin. Okay, man. So that's the story of the offseason for me, really, is that the one with one whisper, Mike Tomlin is changing lives.
Oh, yeah. So. I mean, it's and like I said, I mean, maybe they do end up with this guy. Who knows? I mean, that's really something.
All right, so let's get to the guy who's got 5 hours of Tomlin touch stored up. He's like Green Lantern, ready to transform into a Lombardi Trophy. It's time for at Willie Jack 14. Willie Jack, hang it in the Louvre. Oh. And we've got a picture of Troy Polamalu in the Lemieux jersey. Mm-hmm. Russ in the it's a throwback, but I bet it's brand new.
I'm sure it's brand new, but it's an old design of the Steelers shirt. Yeah.
Sierra in the black and gold Wu-Tang. She's trying. It's not, right. I know it's not Steeler gear. You know, no one could get slip her a jersey, I guess. Brett Kiesel in the is that a Lemieux or is that a Crosby? I don't know.
I mean, I can't see. I mean, but we do know that Kiesel is an actual fan and genuinely supports the team. So it could be anybody at that jersey. It might even be one of those ones without a number, actually.
And then DeMar Hamlin, is he wearing his own jersey?
He's wearing a Penguins jersey with his own number and name on it. But he's Pittsburgh born.
He has one. Sort of,
yeah, so that makes some sense. It's a God, I love this photo. I really did.
It's not like when Mike Dougherty in my high school bought a jersey, put Dougherty on the back. It's much different if you have your own. Yeah, no, this is the best. This is a, you know, it's like, why is he, I guess Troy and Russ have a spiritual connection. Why has Troy been hanging out with them all these times?
I don't know, but I'm glad for it. I mean, Troy might have had something to do with getting Russ out here, right? I mean, I was trying to think if they ever played against each other, and maybe. When was the Marcus Wheaton game? I don't know if Troy was still on the team at that time, but I think, you know, we were talking about how Tomlin is quite an ambassador for the franchise, but I think Troy Polamalu is a pretty great one too.
Yeah, it's interesting that Russ has been kind of spending as much time with alumni as, you know, he's been hanging with Harrison and Batch.
Right.
You know, it's like, are these his peers? Or, because not even, I don't even think Ben really was like hanging. I mean, even toward the end there, the guys just weren't coming around, I guess. You know, I don't know.
And it might be, and that might be part of it. It's like, hey, we're going to get, you know, we're going to circle the wagons again to be a part of this here. Maybe Batch is part of it. And we were never going to know those things. things. But I mean, what we do know in that first Russ dinner was there was also Minka and TJ, which is,
yeah.
a strong a connection, Whoops. Which is the locker room. I mean, that's in a real form. I love Troy in the old Lemieux jersey. I mean, that is going back. That's a throwback jersey. And I understand Russ is new to the team, but like no one could give him a Penguins jersey.
Yeah.
Like even just one, even one of the Vegas gold ones.
Welcome to the team, welcome to the town or whatever.
Right,
yeah.
Right. I mean, it's that, but hey, he was there. He seemed to be having a good time. Good for him.
Let's move over to, do I have Instagram? I asked this last time. Where's the, no, that's not Instagram. Well, we got
Instagram.
Let's go to Russ's IG. Mm-hmm. He's not just in the box with Troy.
Right.
He's with the common man in the stands with center. Is he center? I don't know.
Man of many positions on the offensive line.
Spencer Anderson. Is this where their seats were? Or were they in the box just to stop by and say hi?
I mean, they're sitting, they're four strong in these seats.
Yeah.
So like, and this was also, there's a pretty good crowd for the Boston game on Saturday, which it still makes me sad. Yeah. In the playoffs. But it's having, so I imagine their seats were here because it's not like there are probably four empty and Russ was like, oh, those go look empty. Let's go sit in that. So I imagine these were their seats and they went up to the box maybe where Kiesel and Bulamalu and DeMar were.
So is it safe to assume that Spencer Anderson took the picture of the first one with the he doesn't get the invite for the picture?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it's like, hey, maybe, it's next time you can make it to the photo, too. It's entirely possible with that photo. Kiesel was like, do we know this guy?
This guy's on the team, yeah, we swear.
He's on the team.
He's not just a fan.
Okay, cool.
Tag him.
Thank you. Yeah. Follow him after this.
Okay, if you think those pictures were epic, then let's go to at Omega Red October. Stagger Lee, pure vibes here. Not since Will Smith and Martin Lawrence and Bad Boys, it's Russ and Fields. Russ has these ridiculous Back to the Future glasses on.
Oh, man.
Or are those Hitman Heart? I can't tell.
I was going more obscure. I was going V. Ones the aliens used to wear in the 80s.
The Visitors.
The Visitors, yes. And one thing I have noticed in just seeing a few pictures of Justin Fields so far, and I get it, believe me, I don't mean to criticize the man, but there's not, like, if he's not actively smiling, he doesn't always look that happy. There was a picture of him entering the facility where he kind of looked at a face, and I'm like, well, I'd be that way too if I was starting a new job and maybe I didn't know all that many people. And here, again, in this photo, it very much looks like, oh, I'm running.
Yeah, no, they're not happy to be camera,
He really might be happy to be there. Some people just have, just look that way. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'm sure, I look forward to seeing Fields. Everything you hear about him, he's just a wonderful guy. I don't mean to disparage him, but I mean, in these two pictures, one person looks more committed to running than the other.
They just showed up at these OTAs or whatever. But
voluntary or whatever.
There's already some gear there. Let me put this on. Well, what's catapult? I got to put on this catapult shirt.
Right.
And why is it? And there's like four, five people with cameras, and we're just jogging. We're not even sprinting.
Right.
And,
Russ looks like he's ready to do more than jogging. He looks like he saw the camera and decided to do more than jogging for this.
Oh yeah, he's ready to cook right there. Yeah. Oh, give me this is my poster. Can we make a poster for my bedroom for this? I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure someone can help you with that regard.
Okay, well, enough QB talk. Is it time? Where's the song? Yeah! They're doing this heavy metal comedy show, and the only person on an Ozfest lineup isn't on the comedy show. Sorry, I'm just complaining. All these mocks make me mentally frustrated. It's a heavy metal show, right? Well, this guy was on the Ozfest lineup. Did you know that? I guess not, because you would have put him on the lineup then.
Oh, jeez.
Mock, mock. There's only one way to mock.
We only get to hear that one more time for the rest of this year. Can you believe it? One more week and we have the mock song. And also, I was about to say, other than maybe stand-up comedy, there are a few art forms where there's a greater differentiation between the fans and the artists than heavy metal.
Yeah. All right. Mock season. This wasn't that hot of a mock week. Why was it so cold? Only 14 new mocks this week, usually
in April.
Well,
that's because you're selective and smart about it. There were idiot mocks. There were mocks that had no value whatsoever, but you're smart enough now with a few years experience underneath you to, you know, keep them out of even this.
Yeah, I have been leaner on the mocks. You know,
you've been more selective. That's
like,
not
oh,
leaner.
We, you know, we had 4 and 5 trades in the first round, which may have. I'm sure that
it's not impossible.
But you know, I can't.
Right. Whatever insight there is in these, and there's not much, if any, at all, is going to be drained out by having 4 trades in a mock.
We've created the insight, and if it turns out not to be true, then I have nothing. What are we going to do next year? You know, so we need this to
hopefully look at even less than these. Work. If it doesn't work out this year,
yeah, just no mocks at all, no mocking mocks. Okay, mock takes. Let's get before we get to the numbers. Let's do the takes, right? Mm-hmm. At PGH Steelers Now. According to Tony Pauline, the speculation around the league is the Steelers will take Graham Barton at 20. Speculation from people in the league familiar with the organization is that Graham Barton of Duke will likely be the pick. So, you know, I'm familiar with the organization, but I'm not in the league. So I don't, that doesn't count. But then again, someone in the league like Jerry Jones could also have speculation.
This is as distanced from a real human being saying a thing as you can imagine. A person said that others in the league are speculating that the Steelers will take this player. Before we see what the board is, before if anyone drops down, before any of this, this will be the guy they take. Is it possible they take this guy? Sure. I mean, I can't say if anyone's rising or falling. I can't say whose name people are mentioning more than they did in the past. And in the last few weeks, they've mentioned this guy's name, this Barton, his name more than they had before, certainly more at the expense of something like Jackson Powers Johnson, which you're hearing less. So, I mean, that and what I just told you, it means about as much as the speculation around the league.
It just means everyone thinks we're going to take the guy, right?
Right.
And that's
okay.
What everyone...
And not even everyone, these people. Like some folks, it's not, everyone implies a majority or a lot of people. That's not, this isn't an everyone, this is a some guys.
Some nights I think it's Graham Barton of Duke. I don't care, you know, is that even bad? I don't hate the pick. I mean, you know.
They say he's very athletic for a center. He played it his freshman year. Great.
Yeah, I mean, you know, does it sound like a first-round Kendrick Green?
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's, every time someone brings that up, someone will swoop in to tell you why that's not the case.
Yeah, no, this guy's right. Much more athletic. I remember Kendrick Green squatting 500
exactly.
Cars or something,
yeah,
you know?
Kendrick Green, yeah, bench-pressing Jeeps, yeah.
Let's go to... At by Josh Carney. Well, according to The Athletic's Mark Cabali, the most likely scenario for the Steelers in the first round is a trade up to select an OT, offensive tackle. Wait, is this last year?
Right.
Or this year? if we are trading up, which tackle then are we speculating and reculating about there?
I think we could be speculating or reculating about like 4 or 5 different guys, which is why this isn't crazy, because like if all of those guys start to go, then they could be like, oh, okay, we're unlikely to get a first round tackle, so we're gonna trade up for one. I mean, that's not insane to me. Like, if the quarterbacks start to drop or the defensive linemen or something that the Steelers maybe aren't looking so much at in the first round, then, yeah, I could see them doing this. Also, it's not – if you're going to make a prediction, it's not all that crazy to predict they do the thing they just did.
Well, okay, maybe. I just think, like, there's not – you know, there's not too much – before it was – I don't know what it was before. I just feel like there's not as much time to draft to trade up. Everyone's going to be picking their quarterbacks and whatnot, and so we can't trade up too high. What are we trading up to? 17, 16?
It would be. You know? I think that's sort of it. Because I think I read or skimmed Carvalho's comments, and it was basically not dissimilar to what they did last year, where they moved up three spots. And I think that would be the idea. Would move two or three spots, hope to get ahead of like the Bengals or the Rams or one of those other teams that may be very much looking at a tackle.
Or Graham Barton. I mean, would you want to jump ahead of, would you trade up for your center at 17?
I wouldn't, no. I mean, the idea, I mean, if there's one thing, and again, when it comes to draft and draft time and mock drafts, that's when a moment where you think, wow, propaganda really does work on me. I've started to take on the opinions of all the things I've read so much. But, and that's where I sort of getting to the point where, like, I don't know about taking a center this or in the first round that isn't like Marquise Pouncey again.
And Marquise Pouncey was a 30? Was he a 30?
I don't know what he was, but I don't think he was 15 or 17. I don't think he was 20. By the way, I totally forgot how sharp Tomlin's coat was in this picture. They should use this one more often.
When was this?
I have no idea.
Yeah, this is the double Blazers.
With the metallic blue, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, but to be honest, Tomlin is not a Blazer guy. He's not rarely. He's this
right,
is a rare.
That's why this was so.
Yeah,
neat.
What was this? Did someone get fired or hired? What was? All right. How about one more take on the draft from at Kyle Beagle? Kyle Beagle. According to Jeff Schwartz, Steelers target Jackson Powers Johnson, a Pittsburgh guy. He is an alum of Reese's University in Hershey, Pennsylvania, which I might have some credits at Reese's University.
What I know, I sent this to you and you looked it up. What was Reese's University?
Just merch that they sell on the Hershey's website.
So it wasn't like a camp this guy went to where you learned like footwork or something.
I mean, you know, maybe this was where it was sponsored by Hershey and they just gave him a bunch of merch. I don't know. I'd love to go to that that footwork camp where it's like, yeah, we're sponsored by Reese's Cups and. Yeah, get your bucket of Gatorade and mountain of Reese's Cups.
Well, I mean, I guess this guy is a Pittsburgh guy. He certainly looks like people I've seen around Pittsburgh in this photo. He's probably a very good center. But, I mean, if I'm thinking of which centers are the Pittsburgh guy, I'm thinking of Zach Frazier, the one that's actually a Western PA, West Virginia guy. I mean, he went to Mountain. He was a Mountaineer. He grew up in the area. I think he grew up a Steelers fan. I mean, if we're comparing, you know, early round centers that are a Pittsburgh guy, I'd probably go with the one that's actually a Pittsburgh guy.
He went to Shooters or Speedies. Or is he? Maybe he's too young to. I'm aging myself.
I made a V reference earlier. I don't think you can age yourself.
Yeah,
today.
You're right. The V reference is older than Speedies and Shooters in Morgantown. Mm-hmm. So let's see. Where are we at here on the mocks? We added 14 this week.
Oh.
We've hit 100 mocks since. St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
No new players. We've settled down into our 19 here, but only 2, 4, 6, only about 7 players got votes, got mocking votes this this week. So leading the pack with the most mocks, not only this week, but all of them with 26 and 4 new this week is Amarius Mims.
Wow.
Tackle from Georgia. 26. That's 26%. We need a 50% threshold to determine our pick. Is our postulate, is our theorem.
Sure.
Amarius Mims, number one with 26. Number two with 15. And just only 2 this week. He's kind of going under the radar is Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon. 15 mocks. It's a distant second, frankly.
Wow.
To Mims.
Yeah.
And third, with 3 mocks, he was tied at one point with JPJ, but settled into third with 3 new mocks this week for a total of 13 is Graham Barton.
Mm.
And I would have written him off up until the little visit this week, you know?
Right. Oh, yeah. The fact that he got in under the wire as one of those visits, thinks like, okay, maybe this guy really is in play.
Although it would still break a tradition that goes back to Ziggy Hood.
It's so, just as Jackson Powers Johnson would as well.
Yes, true, true, true. So Mims would not. Mims right. would be the Vegas bet.
Yeah. Mims has to be the big leader in the clubhouse right now.
Is that your bookies.com bets?
I think so. With our unofficial partnership that's over the years. What a relationship we've had with bookies.com.
Kind of some honorable mentions. Fourth is Brian Thomas Jr., the wideout from LSU. And a lot of these, you know, a lot of these content blogospheres seem to give this pick some credence because Peter Schrager from Good Morning Football on NFL Network also mocked Brian Thomas. And for some reason that is enough to spawn its own set of clickbait articles, you know?
Well, I mean, there is an interesting thought of what happens if someone else does take Mims before the Steelers, which is entirely possible since Mims is so you could, as a team, it'd be very easy to fall in love with that guy's talent, despite the fact he's A, been hurt, and B, barely played.
And so you're not ruling out wide receiver.
I think you can't roll out any of this just because what if Mims does go? I mean, that's something that we really didn't discuss during Kenny's year. It seemed like Kenny might have gone earlier, but I mean, we never discussed it during like Najee's year. You know, it's not like we were ever worried that someone was going to take Najee earlier. It was just that was always the pick. So I think if Mims does go earlier, I would rather they at least think about something else so as not to like do the Artie Burns, William Jackson III thing of like, okay, let's draft the second best guy at that position on our board, since that seems to be like a something that so many of them have pointed to over the years and say, that's kind of why we screwed up there.
Well, you've got Mims in Georgia. Mm-hmm. You've got this Futanu in Washington. Right. You've got Fuaga in Oregon State. You're telling me Latham, you're telling me between those four names, all going to go before 20?
It's not great. It's not impossible. I mean, it isn't. I mean, it's unlikely. I mean, I hope it doesn't. It seems like they really want to get a tackle. But I mean, that's, you know, if somebody decides, hey, maybe I'd rather have a tackle than take a flyer on the Michigan quarterback, you know, or somebody thinks, hey, I want to get ahead of Pittsburgh because I'd like to get one of those four tackles.
And then you're going to say, hey, we'll have one of the best wide receivers or something.
Yeah, I mean, I could see them doing all kinds of things then. Then it's, you know, then I'm like every other fan. It's like, well, then you could trade back and get a pick. It's like, okay, well, who wants to trade back with you? Who wants to move up?
At this, you know, we still have a week left in mock draft season, but I'm willing to go out on a branch, go out on a limb,
yes,
and say that it will not be a cornerback or a wide receiver.
I'd be fine with it not being a cornerback or a wide receiver.
That's just from the mock data. I'm not saying what I personally would choose. Maybe I would go with a wideout personally, but I'm going by the mock science, which is you know, the only thing that I've spent my time on for the past month. So, oh my goodness, should we get to the second half of this show already? I mean, goodness gracious. Coming up in the second half, we'll make it a short second half. Maybe it'll just be a third period, maybe. It's con season? But no, Colbert, all this Colbert revisionist history, I don't know. I feel like we're talking about this every week now.
Right.
So maybe just a little bit of that. And much, much more.
We're from the town with great football team. We cheer the Pittsburgh Steelers. Winning's a habit, no longer a dream. Go get 'em, Pittsburgh Steelers. Been many years in coming, so keep the Steelers machinery running.
It's the second half. I guess that's a good time to remind everyone that you can see Greg and I perform every Saturday at that's Flappers right. Comedy Club in Burbank, California.
Oh, yes.
Including this Saturday with some marquee names like Jimmy Pardo and Wendy Liebman.
That's right. It'll be good shows.
Let's not oversell it. All right. We promised some. Nothing wants to work. Con season. Although, really, it seems to be a return to Colbert season. The revisionist history is every week now. Is this going to be a thing? Let's get to at Devin Burns 01. Devin Burns, Colbert's final years as GM set this team back 5 to 10 years. Now Omar Khan has to clean up Colbert's blunders and do stuff that Colbert was scared to do. Why is this all of a sudden these last? Has this always been this level of some Colbert contempt? I mean, or this feels like it's just in the past month or so.
Well, I think it is just in the past month or so. I also think this is the time of year when there's often nothing to talk about, but now there's especially nothing to talk about. They're probably not going to sign anyone else before the draft. The draft is coming up, but it's not here. And God forbid you don't actually say something online. So I think that people are reacting with a lot of this. And I think so much of this, these comments, because, I mean, I can criticize some picks Colbert made. He didn't set the team back 10 years. That's absurd.
No way.
He sent it back 5. But I do think a lot of this is, when you see these comments, when I think, okay, this is somebody else still working out the, you know, the Kenny being traded away. I mean, when I see this, that's what I'm thinking. Okay, this is what this is really about.
Yeah. I mean, like, Colbert's final years haven't been, it wasn't the 74 draft, you know.
It wasn't even Colbert's best years. But then again, everyone misses. Colbert's going to the Hall of Fame, and he's still missed on plenty of them, just as even the best do.
And some, you know, well, we'll just find what a miss is, because sometimes, you know, okay, we'll get there. Let's go to... At Pittsburgh Sport, Steelers takeaways, known Tomlin hater. Maybe right. this might be the opposite take, though. Kevin Colbert's one of the best GMs to ever work in the NFL, period. All those saying he did a poor job in any stretch are blaming him for predominantly loaded teams underperforming. That's not on him. He has his misses like any GM, but he picked later, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like... Of course, Colbert can do no wrong, I guess, in this guy's eyes. So it's all Tomlin's fault. Tomlin underperforming teams.
And the players, too. I mean, he says they underperform. So, I mean, you know, the players have to be there, too. I don't know if these teams were quite that dominant, but there were some good teams that maybe could have gone better. But also, you know, the other teams were on scholarship, too.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not... it's not that he did a poor job in any stretch. He maybe have done a great job either, but there may not have been. You know, look at some of those drafts, like the Terrell Edmonds. I mean, besides Lamar, you know, you could say Lamar Jackson, but say they were not going to draft a quarterback. There weren't too many people who worked out in that span there.
Exactly. That's definitely a good cause, and it's easier to criticize Colbert now from the future when you look back and say, okay, those teams didn't win a lot of games, but it's towards the end, he was drafting, as we can look back now and say, it seems almost exclusively to, like, let's give Ben one last chance and try to build something of a nest for the new quarterback without, you know, and that was Najee, and that was Pat, and that was supposed to be Kendrick Green, but again, you're going to miss on some of that. So it's easier to look. This is some real hindsight is 2020 kind of stuff, and I think it's one more way to know that, to think that, okay, no one could have ever known that Kenny was going to be the so trade me guy instead of competing.
Yeah. Oh, isn't that the really, you know, it's
that's what's underneath all this. This whole conversation to me, that's what the fact that we're talking about this now, that's what I think this is all really about.
You know, his whole legacy, if Kenny is a starter, that's his legacy right there. Boom, you know. The fact that he's not now, it's like, all right, now we can look, you know, Willie Reed didn't do this. And was Willie Reed, I don't even think that was a Colbert
guy. I was going to say, I mean, it might have been. But he looked so fast. I mean, that was, it's easy. You can criticize Willie Reed now, but that man looked fast.
Dree Archer.
Dree Archer was almost my height. I mean, Chris Rainey was the only Steeler they ever drafted who was shorter than me, and he went on to be like an all-pro, if not Hall of Fame, returner in the CFL. So, I mean, there was something there. But anyway.
All right, back to the Colbert hate. At Alexa Trade Talk, what was the biggest mistake Kevin Colbert made? Number one, trading up for Devin Bush. Now, this is some super revisionist history because in the moment when that happened, Devin Bush was, it was Devin White and Devin Bush, and it was like the second coming of Quiver and Quake or something. You know, it was like you couldn't miss with these guys. You know, Devin Bush was a captain at Michigan. You know, it was just, you can't blame Colbert for missing on Devin Bush. That was, that was you know, that was everyone's top 10 pick.
Well, it was, it was an institutional failure. I mean, they all scouted Devin Bush. They all went to Michigan's pro day. They all saw him. They all talked to him, and then they drafted him. I mean, it's, it, it was, it's an organization-wide failure, and that did send the franchise back years, not 5 or 10, but I mean, it did set them back, sure. But yeah, that's one of those things where failure has many fathers.
Well, isn't it? Is, I would, you know, I would blame, put it on Devin Bush. Not, well, you know, it's like he didn't. He was hurt too, though.
He,
you know,
get
so
hurt. He did get hurt.
I mean,
there
okay.
were signs before right. that he wasn't going to be like a big, big star. He did struggle with tight ends and all that, but he had. But once he tore that ACL in, against Cleveland during the pandemic year, that he was never the same after that.
It's hard to blame. I'm having hard blaming Colbert. Okay, number two, hiring Matt Canada.
Which wasn't Colbert's call.
That's not Colbert's job, right?
I mean, I don't think Colbert had anything to do with that whatsoever. I could see wanting to blame someone for this, but I think we've pointed the finger in the wrong direction. It was Rooney, right? Rooney and or Tomlin.
I mean, you have to believe Tomlin when he says he's the final word on that stuff. So, yeah. It's got to be a Tomlin, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, so okay. Number three, biggest Colbert mistake: drafting Kendrick Green at center. I mean, can you really say a third round pick that didn't work out?
I can't say that. I mean, that's. I mean, if you want to, I mean, maybe if we're going to look at for like the biggest Colbert problem, I'm not sure how responsible for it was. If there aren't that many impact players that come from the last few drafts, maybe the problem was kind of in the scouting. Because if you'll notice, that's something Khan did a lot to change, too. It's a very different group of scouts than it was during Colbert's last year. So maybe that's, if we're going to look for what Colbert messed up, it was maybe having the wrong advisors, the wrong eyes in the field, and taking their information to lead to these decisions, too, which would, I mean, it just feels like it would be Colbert's responsibility. So that could be, and that could explain a lot of things. That could explain Kendrick Green. That could explain some other stuff. But a third round center, no, I mean, not having a plan in place for when the offensive line got old, but they got old and injured, like it seemed like almost within like an 8-hour span in OTAs that one year. I mean, the offensive line disappeared practically overnight. I mean, they didn't have a plan for it, but in the NFL, there's only so much you can plan for.
Yeah, DeCastro, right? I mean, DeCastro was, that was like a big surprise.
Yes, yeah. And Pouncey's play falling off significantly during his last year. And then you can't replace that offensive line all at once. And but I think that, you know, this person saying drafting Kendrick Green to center certainly didn't help and was a mistake. But I mean, to say that the third round pick was the biggest mistake feels inadequate.
If anything, you know, I look back at that 2021 season and the Steelers got more production out of their rookie class than maybe any year that I, you know, it's in the Super Bowl era, with Najee, you know, going over 1,000 yards, Pat Freiermuth, I don't know, you know, what his production was, but he certainly contributed in every game.
Right.
Kendrick Green started every game that season. Dan Moore started every game. That's your first four draft picks, you know, and then I think Trey Norwood in the seventh round had to play a lot too. So, you know, someone might say, oh, what a failure of Kevin Colbert, Dan Moore, Kendrick Green, and I'm saying, look, that was the most productive rookie class maybe in Steeler history. You know,
I mean, they certainly played a lot. They didn't maybe necessarily, some of them necessarily play at all that high a level, but Dan Moore is certainly someone that belongs in the National Football League. And Najee and Freiermuth are on the brink of being stars, particularly Pat if he can stay healthy. And Norwood is, how often does a seventh round pick ever see the field, much less contribute in this first game? So yeah, there certainly were some players that got on the field in those last few years.
Today it's like let's nurture these rookies along, but we didn't have that luxury in 2021, and we still went to the playoffs that season. So until Kevin Colbert comes out and says, "Man, I really blew it with Terrell Edmunds," or "Man, I really blew it with Danny," who was the fourth round linebacker, it never worked out.
You're gonna have to be a little more specific. The guy from UCLA or which
Danny?
One?
Yeah, who was that?
Oh God, I don't even remember it. Was that the one where Tomlin lined him up against the fifth round pick offensive lineman at camp that was also a bust, and he said, "All right, I'm gonna have you two run at each other until I figure out if one of you is a football player."
All right. Well, I think the band is trying to take the field. Are they? Is there a band? Nope. Of course not. It's always. Oh my. Let's get to a couple odds and ends, starting with at NFL jersey numbers. Pittsburgh Steelers kicker Matthew Wright is wearing number 8, last worn by Kenny Pickett. That was really quick. And number 8. Will you see 8 Pickett jerseys in Acrisure this year?
Oh, yeah, because somebody bought that jersey, and not everyone's willing to trade like $100-plus jersey for a discounted sandwich at Permane Brothers. So, yes, you will see Pickett 8 jerseys at Acrisure.
Really? I don't even think you can't wear a picket.
You could wear it underneath something, or you could wear it over something. I mean, people are going to wear them. But when you're out, you're out. When the training camp kicker who comes in for if Boswell's hurt gets the number, that's you're gone. It is that is out of sight and out of mind.
Yep.
It's my quarterback.
Up, not anymore.
That's what we've been talking about.
I suppose so. Mm-hmm. All right. I appreciate the one comment we got on YouTube. So if you want to keep the conversation going, I'm on TikTok. I'm at Kyle Kreiss. Greg, and you're out there?
Yeah, unless I'm out there. You can find me, unfortunately, at Instagram. Greg Benevent, B as in boy, E-N-E, B as in Victor, E-N-T.
Next week will it be the mock special next week, or will we have to wait till after? I guess we'll do the preliminary mock the mock with the numbers, and then the week after we'll see how it compares with the results.
Yeah, but I mean, this will be one last look at the mocks, and then they'll actually pick some players, and then we can do the grading to see how everyone did, and the answer's probably badly.
You're exactly right.
I think so. All right. Until next week. When at this point, we'll have our first pick,
yes.
You know? Right? Mm-hmm. You may not even want to listen to next week's show. Why would you? Why would you? We'll already have a pick by then. Okay. Until then, keep listening to your coach.
Be their best selves. That's going to be required.
Stay in school.